meeting to order, and thank you all for coming out on a, depending on where you were coming from, a varying degrees of weather difficulties. Recognize that some of our members were not able to be here tonight because of the road conditions and the weather. Recognize as well that we meet on unceded Willistoqua territory, and in the absence of our Indigenous member tonight, I will comment that we've had some training on culturally based education from him, and we're looking forward to follow-ups on that. It's all most informative and provides us with a base to the decisions that we make moving forward on our policies. You have the agenda in front of you. Are there any changes that you would like to have made to the agenda? Seeing none, that would be approved by consent. And the minutes from January 31st meeting, they were distributed to you. Are there any errors or omissions to call on from the minutes? Are you looking for something, Terry?
No.
Seeing none then, approved by consent. First presentation, provincial assessment results. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we do that, could you introduce the staff that are present?
Absolutely.
And before she does that, I want to thank you for coming out tonight and being here with us. And Judy, you're included way back there in the corner.
So Judy Cole is our Director of Communications, who's an always present face. Wayne Annis is our Director of Schools for the Fredericton Education Center. Diane Kay is our Director of Curriculum and Instruction. And Sue Young is our Data and Accountability Supervisor.
You're welcome.
Catherine?
I'm going to get out of your way, Sue.
All right. So, I guess my role tonight is I'm just going to give you a brief overview, run through some of the provincial assessment results from 2017-18, and then I'm also going to touch on the national and international results that our students participate in. They have assessments, PISA and PCAS in first. So starting with a bit of an update, one of the things that is new and that we want to update you on is now, there will be now a common methodology for analyzing assessment results. So students who did not write will no longer be included in the below appropriate achievement category. So that could be students who have been out for various reasons. They might be ill, they might be have moved to a different school or moved out of the province. So if they did not write, but they were registered to, they will no longer be included in the below appropriate achievement category. So that will change our schools.
Then why is exemption staying?
Exemption is staying because these students have been registered and they are exempted for reasons that may be because they're on a modified or individualized program. There may be reasons that for whatever reason at that particular time, anxiety might be an issue where they have to be exempted on the spot, but they are including exemptions in the below appropriate.
Oh, they are?
Exemptions, yes.
Oh, okay.
Grade 4 assessments, the reading, math, and science were a pilot in 2017-18, so we don't have any results to share with you this year, but they will be a main administration this year, so we will have results next. In terms of the grade 2 assessments, these will be, the provincial assessment will be replaced, and there's consultation happening right now for the development of a different assessment process, so there will be no grade 2 provincial assessment. So we'll start looking at English reading assessments, grade 2, 6, and 9. For grade 2 reading, 71.3 met or exceeded the appropriate achievement level in reading, and that was a decrease of 4.4%. And for ASPW, we had 72.1% at a DPW had 61.8, an increase of 0.6%. Percent of our students in grade 9 met or exceeded the appropriate achievement level on the ELPA, and that's an increase of 0.1%, and there's been a steady raise. The trend has been going up over the years, and in 2005-2006 we had only had 59.9% of students who achieved that level. And with Vaughan West School District has 80% of students who met or exceeded the appropriate achievement level, and that's a decrease of 0.6%. This is slide just shows the reading results for grades 2, 6, and 9 by program for both the district and the province.
All of these are on the portal for you to investigate.
Nice and big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there it is.
Yeah. Sorry.
In several areas, we are certainly we're above the province, but there are a few where it's just on par or just a little bit below. Mathematics, scientific literacy, and mathematics and scientific literacy. In this one, start with scientific literacy. 35.1% of students met or exceeded the appropriate achievement level. That's an increase of 3.4%. And for Anglophone West School District, 34.2%. Met or exceeded the appropriate achievement level. So there was an increase of 1.4%. For mathematics, 37.1% met or exceeded the appropriate achievement level, a decrease of 1.3%. And in Anglophone West School District, 35%, which was a decrease of 4%. This is the first year for grade 10 scientific literacy and grade 10 mathematics, and 64.7% of the students met or exceeded the appropriate achievement level in scientific literacy, and 64.5% of students met or exceeded the appropriate achievement level in mathematics. Anglophone West School District, scientific literacy was 64.7 and mathematics was 66.9. Again, this slide just shows the scientific literacy and mathematics results by grade and program for both the district and the province. ASDW and grade 10 results were above the province in all programs. If we look at grade 10, we were above in each of the programs, above the province.
Can you point to that one, what you're just saying?
So if we looked at early French immersion, for example, and we looked at grade 10 science,
oh yes, those
literacy,
are above, yeah.
We are higher than the province, mathematics higher than the province, and that's the same throughout.
So if we learn in French, we're higher.
Which is all of the categories.
See,
in
all
English
programs.
We're above the province.
Yeah. In grade 10.
Yeah, in grade 10.
In math.
Yeah,
in scientific.
Oh, I see. Okay, I was looking at the bottom number. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. French second language assessment. There's grade grade six French second language reading assessment results for the province district and the program. And it would appear as though the late immersion did better, but it's due to different cut points that are used for the different programs. For the grade 10, ASCW again was above the province in both programs. There is no post-intensive French because it was a pilot last year, so there are no results, but there will be results next year. And the comparison between these are much more straightforward because they do use the same cut points. So you can compare the early and the late French immersion. In terms of the French oral language proficiency, there's been this is done every 2 years for grade 10, it's tested every 2 years, and there's an upward trend, so they have been continuing to increase, and in 2017-18, 46.2% of students attained intermediate or higher. And this is the first year, this was the first year that it was actually grade three French immersion that were the cohort that was being assessed. Prior to that, it was grade one. 87% of the early immersion grade one entry students achieved an intermediate plus or higher when tested in a grade 12 oral proficiency. And the percentage was 62.7 for late French immersion and 30.1. For post-intensive French. And just to touch briefly on the national and international assessments, New Brunswick is doing well on PISA. Canada is actually fourth in the highest performing, one of the four highest performing in the OECD countries. And New Brunswick students consistently score above the OECD average on PISA assessments. And I'll just show you just a two-pager that I put together that kind of gives you a visual of that in a moment. The most recent Pan-Canadian assessment program, PCAP 2016, mathematics assessment saw New Brunswick's fifth place in Canada. 84% of New Brunswick students reached an acceptable or higher level of proficiency on the most recent PISA science assessment. And 75% of the New Brunswick students reached an intermediate level or higher on PIRLS, which was done in 2016 as a grade 4 assessment. So PISA looks at students who are 15-year-olds. PCAP, we're looking at grade 8 students that are assessed, and then PIRLS, we're looking at grade 4. So this is something that was uploaded. So again, what this shows you is these are the PISA results, and there's a trend here that you can look at, so it's over time. And our PISA results, New Brunswick is the darker red line, and OECD, which is the Organization for Economic and Cooperative Development, is the black line. So we have consistently been above all those other, the average of the other problems of the other countries in the world. And if you look at the red line, there is a trend in reading and in science Math is not up here. However, if we look at PCAP, and we look at what our grade 8 students have been doing over time, we have the reading and the math and the science. And the dark black line here is Canada, and New Brunswick is the dark red. And so there's been the trend is an upward one. And actually, in math here, this put New Brunswick in fifth place in Canada. And I think the only other thing, I did give you a one-pager with some historical data for our district.
So as part of the information that you should have uploaded on the website, you have a one-pager that will give some of the actions and strategies and initiatives that we're doing within the various curricular areas. Catherine asked if I would just briefly kind of walk through what does it look like for us in the district when we get data, keeping in mind that the provincial assessment results that Sue has just shared with you or the international are just one piece of data that we look at within the district. So, for example, if we look at literacy or we look at grade 2 results, one of the first things we do is we'll take that data and we want to compare it to other data sources that we have. We want to look for trends, we want to look for are there discrepancies, are there areas of need. So for example, with the literacy results, we looked at that, we compare it to our report card data, and that's one of the key areas that we do want to take a look at. So with report cards, we're looking at students, and that would be in the assessment deck report, which we've already had a report on earlier. But we're looking at the students who are meeting or excelling. So with our report card results, K to 8, teachers report out on a 1 to 4 scale. So that would be students that are performing at a 3, 3+, 4, 4+. So we're going to take a look at the percentage of students, and that can be broken down by strand. So for example, we're going to look at the reading and viewing, and what's the percentage of students on our report cards in the classroom, and what's their performance, and then we're going to look at what does the provincial results say, and we make a comparison. We have noticed that in the last couple of years, when we look at our report card data and we compare that to provincial assessment data, that our report card data is higher. So then we want to take a look and dig into that even deeper. So why perhaps are our students doing better in the classroom, and how does that compare to the provincial assessment result? Keeping in mind that provincial assessments are a snapshot, and the report card data is more ongoing, and teachers see that growth over time. So we do look at that. So for example, this year we looked at those two data sources in particular, but we're also looking at other data sources. So our teachers are doing formative assessment, self-reflection tools, balanced literacy tools. We're going to take all of that information. We also look at the students' results on running records, and that data is at the school as well. So all these data sources are kind of brought together. Our coordinator team look through them, they break it down by school, and then we also look at what are some of the strategies we can do as a district. So in the area of literacy, for example, this year, our coordinators, they look at their own work plans. They're going to make adjustments to their work plans based on the ongoing data that comes in. Some of those adjustments could be related to professional learning opportunities and offerings. What is the greatest need? Where do we need to go? Do we need to target certain clusters of schools?
Do we have a lot of teachers that might be new to a grade level or new to the, a school that we need to address? So that's one of the strategies. We look at the literacy lead support. When our literacy leads are in schools, they're also given the data as well. So the results from the formative assessment teacher results, the balanced literacy results, they will go into the schools, they'll have conversations with administrators, and teachers will identify goals, so they'll work collaboratively on addressing those goals. We also looked this year because we wanted to get to the why of literacy instruction and build some consistency across the district. So we just finished two very large professional learning opportunities, and we wanted teachers alongside administrators so that they could come to the professional learning together and have those conversations from the administrative perspective, but also having the teacher sitting alongside that administrator. And as part of those learning opportunities, we looked at, for example, running records. How do we build consistency? What should that look like? We talked about, you know, the administrators going in and doing walkthroughs. What are those key things that we should see in the classroom to support that learning environment? So it was a full day professional learning. We want to build consistency across our district. So we had all of our schools represented. We did two sessions just for geographics, but it was the very same professional learning opportunity. We've also looked into our data as well, and we said, you know, we're seeing in some areas that there is inconsistency. Students are doing really well, perhaps, in the classroom and the results on report cards, but we're not seeing that consistency in other contexts. So we've identified three schools, and just last week we did professional learning, and we had a collaborative inquiry action research going on in three schools. And we actually brought together the entire team of teachers of K to 2 from three schools and an administrator. And we're starting to look deeper into, for example, reading. What is it, why, you know, what's important for reading instruction, and dig deeper and deeper. So we had our alignment champion work with the staff from the three schools. They've had the opportunity to experience various performance tools that the alignment champion used. They've all identified, the three schools have identified a specific area that they're going to target. We're monitoring this over time, so there'll be a 30-day, 60-day, 60-day, or 90-day check-in. They've identified, you know, where they want to see growth, and we're going to come back in June and hopefully identify. But they're being very intentional on a specific strategy that they want to use, and it's going to be consistent across that K-2 team. So we're excited about that. To see what that would look like in the impact. And if that works well, then that's an initiative that we will look to grow in the future. Our district alignment champion with performance management, daily management, she's also out working in certain schools and assisting the schools to really look at their school-based data and what is that, kind of digging into that, what kind of strategies, how can that impact their school improvement plans. So those are some of the kind of how we respond and look at that data, keeping in mind that this is only one additional source, but it does help inform us and we use it in collaboration with others. So how do we measure our impact? Some of that will be, you know, qualitative, some will be quantitative. In our previous reports, we've identified we want to see growth, for example, with the report card data, and we want to increase the percentage of students that are meeting and exceeding with those various strands. So those are some of the areas we're looking at the results of formative assessment. It's a different scale, but ideally we want to be working and seeing more teachers at the top of the self-assessment scale and the
terms of sustaining the skills and the actions that they need to see that happening in the class. So that's a very kind of quick overview that kind of walks you through, just in one content area, what we would be doing. And similar actions would occur in numeracy and science and literacy at the different areas, but that's how our staff are kind of working and targeting and being very intentional.
Thank you. Do we have questions?
Yes.
I was looking all around.
Well, I was giving everyone else an opportunity to say yes, they had questions. I'm just going to go right back to the very beginning about this exemption thing, because I do have a question about that. I could, you know, talk on and on about all the assessment results and all the tools that are being used and everything else, but, you know, you get to a point where you think, I mean, government and education, and you have all kinds of people dictating what you're doing and things like that, so it becomes difficult. But when you have three different levels of assessment and they're all showing three different places that people are, or that the students are, it kind of brings to question why is it like that? So if I look at the provincial assessments, and then I look at the PISA or the PCAP, what they're called. Like, do the same kids write all those tests?
They're different samples of students.
Yeah. So the kids that are on behavior modification programs or special plans, education plans, and things like that, would they participate in the international tests as well?
They can be exempt.
And are their numbers included?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
If they're exempted?
I would have to check on that.
See, I would think, you know, I was really happy to see that those who do not write are not included in the total anymore. Mm-hmm. But then we take that all away, all that happiness away, and we see that they will continue to be reported as below achievement level for other kinds of exemptions. And I think it would make a big difference publicly. Because I think you'd probably see, I mean, even if it was a 3 percentage point or a 5 percentage point difference, what an improvement that would be if you didn't have to count, you know. So who makes the decision? Who made the decision to take the percentage of students who did not write out of the equation?
They wanted to try to come up with a common methodology.
Who are they?
Department.
Okay.
And what they wanted to do was come up with a common methodology. Right now, that's the way the Francophone sector has done it. So the But in the Francophone sector, they have not included those who did not write in the below appropriate achievement, but they have included exemptions. And we have, in the Anglophone sector, been including both. So in order to make it consistent provincially, this is what we've
looked at. And part of that, Jane, is the did not write. We don't know how those students would perform. So that is part of the rationale why that's not included.
But you understand what I'm saying from a public person reading the newspaper, looking out, and from me sitting here, like the people reading the newspaper at home aren't aware of all of this little bit of information, you know, and I'm looking at it and saying, well, I mean, if we were up 5 percentage points because that didn't have to be part of the equation, then that gives us, you know, gives people hope that we are moving. And then when I look at these and see how well we are doing, and it's totally contradictory to the provincial assessments.
But I think as we dig in, and what Diane has talked about is, what do we do with the data? So those, we recognize that those students that are exempt are included in our results. So we take that into account when we go to a school and say, Cambridge Narrows, how did you do? So let's talk about individual students. Let's talk about what you expected. So for us, it's important to respond to the results and do all the work that Diane has described, knowing that reality in our
system. And you,
yeah.
And we know that
and
reality
we do, yeah,
in that
and
system.
I, and
but
I,
the general public doesn't
no.
know that reality. And that's, you know, that's kind of, you know, when I'm walking up the street and someone says, hey, you're on the deck, how come we're doing so bad? You know, I go, oh, well, because we include everybody, right? So I don't do that and nobody asks me, but,
yeah.
you know, that would be kind of the general norm of it. And I guess, you know, I'm happy with to see this stuff, and I'm happy that we're number five in the country and that we're doing holding our own internationally and all that kind of stuff. But it really is, the whole thing is really misleading when you have the two documents, like, way out here. And this one is controlled by the government, and this one is controlled internationally, so. Everything else, a great report, you know, everything's the same. I'm not going to beat the horse on all of that anymore because there's no point. You're doing everything you can do, and I recognize that.
Anyone else? Are you thinking, Stephanie? Or?
I'm thinking. Wheels are turning.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Yes, it's a bad night. Go home. Not that we don't want you here. But
no.
No?
No?
Thank you.
No, not about that.
Okay. One of the things that we talked about often is around how to present information. So if we decided to do it by program, so French Immersion Lake, if that, and we put it in there because we assumed that you would be interested in that type of breakdown. So if it's not necessary, let us know and we'll make sure we don't do it next time. But we just thought you'd be interested.
Yeah, that's certainly interesting. It'll be interesting to see where the government goes with the Premier's announcement on looking at the grade one entry again. So. I don't believe we have any business from the minutes. I didn't see any. We did. After our meeting of January 31st, when we voted on our sustainability studies on the four schools, send a letter to the minister informing him of our decision on each one of those, and a letter to the school communities for each one of those schools as well. And we have a letter going addressing our vacancy in Subdistrict 13, which is in new business under Subdistrict 13 vacancy. So we're sending a letter off to the minister regarding that, and hopefully we'll see some, he'll be able to make a decision and let us know about that fairly quickly. PSCC representation, please make sure that any and all PSCC members from all schools who are interested in attending the symposium in May send their names off to Carol or myself before or on March the 14th, because we will draw one name from each sub-district. That's not one name from each school, but one name from each sub-district on that day. And if we have a sub-district that does not have a person submit a name submitted, then we will go back and draw one. Yeah.
And is it, I assume it's also acceptable to send, I've been collecting names and I can forward them on to you?
Sure.
Oh, okay. All right.
As long as they're there by the 14th.
Yep.
Knowing that we are going to draw on the 14th.
Yes. Yeah. I actually.
Do you think
them
people will send
them
to us at midnight on the 14th?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Change the deadline to the 13th.
Yeah, that would just make things really, really
muddy
nice
the water.
Yeah. No. And please let Stacy know whether you will be attending the symposium or not. I expect all of you, except for two.
Where is it?
Of the rod.
Seriously?
In your machine. Mother's Day weekend, but you don't have to stay for Mother's Day. You can go home Saturday night, or if it's a traveling issue, you can stay Saturday night and go home early Monday morning to get to Mother Road for brunch.
I want to go Sunday.
If you want to take your mother to the symposium, you could, I suppose. So, we whipped right through that, and we're on to superintendent monitoring report, healthy living.
My apologies, I cannot get technology to work for me today. So if you were here before, we had Rob help me out, and now it's broken again. So it is on the portal for your perusal. Thanks, Wayne. So this is DEC report 2.3, healthy living. The policy calls for the superintendent to provide learning opportunities and programs that support healthy living for those in our system. We focus those opportunities and programs around the areas of social, physical, and mental health through the teaching of provincial curriculum and creating that positive learning and working environment. For example, our provincial physical education curriculum works to build the confidence of our students by exposing them to a variety of different physical activities that are intended to create that desire to be active beyond the public education system. We promote a school environment that supports students and staff resiliency, resiliency being defined as the ability to persist in the face of adversarial circumstances and to thrive when they are encountering challenges. So that's how we define resiliency. And also information is shared on our website for parents and community around healthy living. So again, getting those opportunities and learning programs outside so the parents can support our students.
Here you go.
Thank you.
There was a tone in there.
He's so much smarter than I am when it comes to technology. Our K-8 report cards, again, so this is how we are assessing how we're doing around this particular topic. So our K-8 report cards reflect a minimum of 94% of students receiving a 3 or above. And you, Diane just mentioned that a 3 is appropriate achievement. So it has 3, 3 plus, 4, 4 plus. So right now we have 94% of students achieving that level in the areas that are directly related to this particular DEC policy. In our 9 to 12 report cards, we have a reflection of 90%, at least 90% of students taking courses that are directly linked to the healthy living policy have success. So it's a 60% or above. And our target for the next school year would be able to be maintaining that, at least that performance. When it comes to resiliency, we had at current 2015-2016 through the wellness survey, which is 6 to 12, so this is students self-reporting their own feeling of high or moderate level of resiliency is 70%. So that was 3 years ago. We are getting the results this year, 2018-19. We should have results for students, and we would like to see at least a 3% increase. So a 1% increase per year. So we haven't had it for 3 years. It's now being done this year. Student survey, self-reflection. We would like to see an increase based on all of the work that we have done around positive learning and working environments and resiliency for students. So that's our target. And you will find out how we do. Any questions?
When will those reports be out?
We should have it by the spring. We should have it soon. We're waiting for NB Wellness to just collate the data. I think it's already happened in the schools. The survey has been done. We are just waiting for results now. Yeah. And it was 6 to 12, so it was a secondary student population that completed it. Next year it will be elementary, and then they take a year off just to review the process and the data, and then they start the process. So we're looking for 3% increase in self-reporting for students. Aim high. So 1% per year. That's, we'll see how we go. It has been, it's been a focus in ASDW.
I'll make a comment. Is it okay?
Yes.
I just think there's, the schools take on a lot, and I think our student populations have a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the school can only, you know, they're trying as hard as they can to deal with a lot of stuff that's going on in students and parents and community worlds, and I think it's sometimes hard to quantify that, you know, because it could be at this moment in time when a student is doing a survey or whatever, if there was an incident. I'm just thinking what was it, Dartmouth yesterday, where they shut down the, or not, what is it called? See,
lockdown.
I've been out. They did a lockdown. Mm-hmm. And if kids were to do that survey next week, it may not be a true reading of all the work that had been done previous to that. So, and that just may be a major incident of that type, but there's lots of things going on. And I think there's just an importance of recognizing that life is different for students and communities now compared to, you know, 20 years ago or whatever. So I can see that there would be, could, you know, it's hard to, a school could be working really hard on data and then issues hit and.
Yeah, and that's really important for us as a system and for schools to dig in. And if we see that 3% increase, let's celebrate it. What, obviously something has changed and it could be the focus. If we don't see that increase, let's dig in and ask why. And it could be exactly as you say, Heather, something has occurred connected to when that survey was done. Did that impact? So we can wait until the next one comes to see if there is an increase, and then you could go back and say, yeah, maybe that did. What are the variables that could have caused a dip at that particular moment? And then you go into your own school-based data with suspensions or, you know, guidance data, whatever the guidance does. A lot of schools do their own surveys, so that, because waiting for 3 years is a bit much to see if what you're doing is making a difference. So they do a lot of their own self-reflection and student surveys to gather more timely feedback. Yeah, but it's a valid point.
I know you've had the report and you've had a chance to look at it and ask questions. No, I will let you know that Tanya doesn't have a question because she was disconnected and she wasn't hearing us anyway, so she didn't try to reconnect. So, no, Tanya doesn't have a question. Well, she might have a question, but she's not going to ask.
Jane, you want to ask one for?
Thank you, though, for thinking of her.
I'm sure she appreciates it.
I'll just comment that, and I didn't at the beginning of the meeting, that we did have a phone connection for one of our members, but we know that the sound isn't good. And Miriam, you can testify to that, since you were on the other end at one point. And so we're looking at alternate options for stormy days and how we can get people connected with those of us who can't get together. Yes, thank you. I was thinking along the same lines. You know, provincial assessments in mathematics, a shot in time on a one day are no different, really, than because you build and you build and you build, working with students and for students, and then something happens, and yeah. But I'm you know, someone who would have struggled personally with a phys ed class, I'm just thrilled that those results are as they are. And at one time I was, you know, slim and trim, but
did you get that on tape?
So I'm thrilled that we are addressing what we're addressing, and at the same time I also think about comments that are made sometimes by advocates in the system about, you know, things like, well, it's a shame that no one in the school recognized that student missed 60 days, and nobody's thinking about the teachers that have called every day for 50 days to find out where that student is, and so what our schools are doing is not always evident, and doesn't always show up on a one-day survey. Thank you for that comment.
Well, and it's also not, it's at all levels.
Right,
so,
right,
yeah.
Committee reports. Student voice.
Student voice, we now have 15? 14 or 15?
17
out of 19.
So okay. Just
two schools. Representatives, and maybe we can decide on a meeting
sure.
date before we leave tonight for our next meeting to see what direction we're headed.
Great, thank you. And the policy.
No big update there. I'm still trying to pull some information together about what CSR reports were updated in 2017, I believe, and I'm just going to get that information to the rest of the committee. And I believe the code of conduct for East was posted to the portal since last week.
So those of you who have signed on to the policy committee, you may not have realized when you did, but that committee never ends. That work never ends. Some of our committees you have written in that you will review them annually. So. Yeah. Is that it?
DHAC was canceled this month, or postponed, and it's going to be, because of the weather. Yeah.
Okay. And do we have someone to fill in on those committees? Is that a possibility if the person can't be available? They wrote again from the Curriculum Advisory Committee that you are on to say, are you intending that Heather stay on? And we might have lost your email if you already answered this. So I go back and said, yes, we are intending.
I didn't get anybody asking me that. So, but I did say that.
Yeah. Well, I.
But
I
that
back
was
and
that
asked
was
them
like
if they wanted the
okay.
original, and they said no, that's okay. We'll go with this. So.
Okay.
But if you weren't there, would they welcome you naming someone else to go?
I don't know if that person is a voting member. It seems to me that I am the person named to that committee, and I'm not sure if a substitute can go. We only meet twice a year, so I don't know if that if there was able to be a substitute, which I can find out, is a voting member.
Okay.
So I can we won't have a spring meeting until this spring.
Spring. Oh, yeah, that might be July. and your...
The DHAC, I'm not... There's not a lot of voting. It's a lot more discussion and... I'm trying to think what we've ever voted on, really.
So could you just follow up with them to see if...
Yeah,
some
I certainly
could
will.
Be there, could you name someone or we
yeah.
could name someone? Okay.
Julie is the... Yeah. There is lots of district representation on the committee,
absolutely.
Too, so just
Norm
from the deck. Yeah.
Right. Okay, is that it? Do we have all the committees so far? Oh, yes.
We're continuing on through. We've had, I guess, their third or four meetings.
Good.
And everything's progressing fine. So.
And shovels in the ground when the spring comes, July?
No. Somebody will put a shovel in the ground somewhere, I'm sure.
They got room?
Pardon?
Have they bought room?
I don't know. They're still working on some
details,
I guess. So.
Right. So, I know that you will bring us details when there are some.
I shall.
public to leave, it'll just take me 30 seconds, and then you'll be able to be on your meeting. Oh, our next meeting is in Woodstock, and it's March 21st. Remember, we don't have a working session in March.
We don't work.
We don't work at all in March.
Thanks for getting my talking right.
Okay.
Bye, Darren.
30 seconds.
30 seconds, that's it.
No longer.
I knew there was something else. Rob Fowler, the chair of the deck chairs, have been invited to a